Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. And would also like to welcome those that are watching online. It's good to see all those smiling faces. So as we minister the word of God, please smile and you won't be given a ticket for saying amen. So anytime you feel like saying amen, go ahead and say amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. We are beginning our sermon series this morning. And our country is particularly in a tough time. We are experiencing tough times. We are facing a pandemic that has changed life as we used to know it. There are racial tensions and racial divisions. People are seeking for answers. These are trying times for everyone. And we believe that the Bible is the ultimate answer to all our problems. We'll turn to the scriptures this morning and seek for answers from his word. The early church faced some segregation and racial disharmony too, as we shall see in our text. And maybe before we go into our text, let us look at the context, at the background of this scripture that we will be talking about this morning. God created mankind after his image. Mankind, or humanity, were image bearers of God. And this changed when sin came on the scene and man was barred from the presence of God because of sin. But still, God loved mankind and he put into motion a plan which we call the covenant of grace that kicked in immediately after the fall of mankind. And God chose a people for himself, and these were the Jewish people. He made covenants with them, and these covenants established a special relationship between God and the Jews. And the covenant of grace was established spanning the breadth of the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We see God making covenant with Adam, Noah, Abraham, David, and going into the New Testament. And by so doing, God chose himself a people. He gave them laws and rules and ceremonies that separated them from the rest of the people of the world. They had to be circumcised. Not only had they to be circumcised, God established a place of worship starting from the tabernacle to the temple for his people. This was a place where God's presence was and where ceremonies for the forgiveness of sins took place. He actually gave them the measurements for the building of the tabernacle and the temple. That's how important this was to God. These laws and ceremonies, they had a meaning that God was trying to convey to his people. The Old Testament foreshadows the New Testament. It foretells of the things that were going to come. So when God chose himself a people in the Old Testament, he was projecting what he was going to do in the New Testament when he was going to choose himself a people. But these people that he was going to choose in the New Testament were not a particular tribe or nation, as we shall see in this text. But by doing what he did in the Old Testament, it was a shadow of things to come. That he was a sovereign God. That he could choose and select a people as he wills and call them to be his own and call them to worship him in a way that he chose. So we go into the New Testament and Jesus comes on the scene. He becomes a game changer. And the Jews did not understand this man, because they still felt that they were in the place of privilege, that they were the chosen ones of God. And when Jesus started preaching the gospel, and after his death and resurrection, the gospel was taken to the Gentiles. And this did not go well with the Jewish brothers in Jerusalem. When they saw those uncircumcised Gentiles coming to Christ, some of them with funny accents like mine. It didn't go down well with them. So much that Peter said to them at one place in Acts chapter 10, verse 27 and 29. Peter said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate or visit with a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." It had to take a vision from God for Brother Peter to be convinced that he could walk into the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, and preach the gospel to him. That's how biased they were against the Gentiles. And they said, "Well, fair and fine. If God wants you to hear the gospel, that's okay. But before we can accept you, you need to be circumcised first. You need to become a Gentile first before you can become a Christian." And Brother Paul came upon the scene and he said, "No, that's not what it is." So it is against this background this morning that we are going to share our message. There were hostilities between the Gentiles and the Jews. And in verse 14, it starts by showing us that Jesus is our peace. "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." So Jesus brought peace. He brought the two sides which were antagonistic against each other. How much we need to hear this today. Our cities, they are burning. There is anger, racial tensions, senseless killings, looting and destruction. There is the great racial divide. The answer is not in the political arena, neither is the answer in legislation. The answer is in the Word of God. The Bible calls him the Prince of Peace, who was promised in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And he will be called Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He was promised way back. He is the only peacemaker that mankind can have. He is the only one who can restore peace, quiet, calm to this chaotic situation. The word used here in Hebrew, shalom, it means an appearance of calm and tranquility. Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. We sing, I love this hymn. "What peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything in God." If we carry everything to God, then we can have the peace that the peacemaker gives. We are seeing mental issues, high unemployment, broken relationships are on the rise. People that used to live in the morning, one going to the other workplace and the other one going to the workplace, some of them, they now have to work at the house and see each other for 24 hours, which we didn't used to do. And then things that were hidden, they started to crop up to the surface. And as a result, we are seeing a lot of broken relationships. Fear is everywhere. Jesus is our only hope. God gives us the peace that passeth all understanding, according to Philippians 4, verse 7. The command that is given most in the Bible is the command, fear not. It is not God's will for us to live in fear. Anyone or any doctrine that promotes fear is not from God. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. He is the one who spoke to the storm and there was calm. And we are seeing storms all around us. And that same Jesus who spoke and calmed the storms can speak and calm the storm in our country today. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He doesn't change. Heaven and earth shall pass, but the word of God remains the same. And Jesus can speak to the chaotic mess that we are in today and say, peace be still. So he came and he brought us peace. He brought peace between mankind and God. In the introduction that we spoke about earlier on, we saw that man was alienated from God because of sin. Man was barred from the presence of God because of sin. And God gave them the dimensions of the tabernacle and later on the dimensions about building the temple. And in the temple, there was a wall that separated the Jews from the presence of God. Only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. And as we read in this scripture, we saw in verse 14b that Jesus, when he came, he broke that wall. He broke that partition that separated mankind and God. In Mark chapter 15, verse 37 to 38, it says the veil of the temple was broken in two from top to bottom when he was on the cross. In other words, he was declaring that access to God is now open to every human being. Every man and every woman, the door was opened. And the fact that it was broken from top to bottom means that it was an act from above coming to earth. It was God reaching out to mankind and saying that that law that separated me from you is now being fulfilled in Christ, in that he was the sacrifice that was all that was offered once and for all. And the book of Hebrews says that we now have a high priest who went before the Father and offered himself as a sacrifice. We can now come boldly before the presence of God. He reconciled mankind to God. He became the sacrifice that was once offered once and for all. Not only did he break the wall that separated man from God, he also broke the wall that separated man from man. As we were doing the background to this text, we saw that the Gentiles and the Jews were separated from each other. There was animosity between the two. Due to the structure of the temple, there was another wall when they came to worship that separated the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles were not allowed into the inner court. And some Bible commentators, they teach that if it happened by chance that a Gentile stepped into the inner court, they would be sentenced to death. So if you were a Gentile like me, when you came to the temple, you were content by hearing whatever was being said from the outer court. You had no access to the inner court. Only the Jews had access to the inner court. But the Jews could not get into the Holy of Holies. So we see Christ breaking the wall into the Holy of Holies. By so doing, he also broke the wall that separated the Jews and the Gentiles. And it says, in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and to you who were near. So by coming, he brought those that were far off, the Gentiles, those that were not part of the commonwealth of Israel, he called them to come in, and he also preached to the Gentiles. And we see this in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 in the Great Commission. It says to go and make disciples of all nations, not just of the Jews, but of all nations. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says you start to preach the gospel, be witnesses where? Please be with me. Where do you start? In Jerusalem. And where do you end? The uttermost parts of the world. So meaning that the gospel was to start with the Jews in Jerusalem and then go to all the nations of the world. And there is no other name given by which men might be saved except the name of Jesus. So he came and he broke that wall that separated people according to their races. Racism and division is a byproduct of sin. Let me repeat that again. Racism and division is a byproduct of sin. Throughout history, we have seen this manifestation of hostilities. From the time of Hitler, the days of the Holocaust, whereby he tried to raise up one race as above all other races. Watching the move Hotel Rwanda was very difficult. We see another type here, and this is what is prevalent in Africa. It's not skin color, it's along tribal lines. And we saw the massacre, and you were filled with tears as you watched one tribe kill the other tribe. Just because you are not a Hutu or a Tutsi, then you deserved to die. That is a doctrine that came from hell, that started when sin came on earth. Adam and Eve, they disconnected from each other after they sinned. The blame game started. Are we familiar with this today? Jesus broke those walls of hostility. And the problem is that the Jews, they tried to look at the Gentiles through the lens of a Jew. Let me repeat again. They tried to understand the Gentiles through the lens of a Jew. Let me give you an example about this. When I initially came from Zimbabwe, coming to the USA, I had a totally different view about allergies. Allergies in Zimbabwe are very mild, and it's nothing in Zimbabwe when you talk about allergies. So when I came here and people, they were talking about allergies, it was very funny to me because I didn't understand. I thought, huh, what kind of people are they? Are their bodies so weak that they cannot withstand allergies? And then fast forward a few months, one of our sons started to have allergies. going for the allergy skin test, seeing all those needles being stuck in him, and then having to use the nebulizer all the time, and then having to use the inhaler to see the young boy suffering, I started to understand a little bit about allergies. And then a few years down the line, I started suffering from allergies myself. The running nose, the itchy eyes, the stuffy nose, the itchy ears, and the sneezing. That was welcome to the allergy club. For the very first time, I started understanding what Americans were going through, what fellow Oklahomans were going through. But before this advent, before this situation, I had no clue. I was clueless. And that's what we try to do most of the time when we hear about other races, about what they are doing. We don't understand where they are coming from. We are trying to judge them through the lens of our own culture. That's why at the end of the sermon, we shall look at some of the things that we can do to try and understand why certain people are doing what they are doing. So I was full of pride and very judgmental, saying, why are these people complaining about allergies? Whereas the problem was not them, the problem was my perspective. And we have many walls that we are creating. That we create for ourselves. How many walls do we have that we put up that separate us from other people? This is the most exciting part of the sermon. After breaking the walls, after the animosities, after bringing the two sides together, then Jesus does something wonderful. He builds us into a new household. For through him, we both have access to the Father, the Gentile and the Jew, by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. So after making peace between the two parties, after breaking and giving access mankind to God, and after breaking the walls that separated the Jews and the men and the Gentiles, he now does a new thing. He builds us into a new household. And the scripture says, we are no longer foreigners. We are no longer strangers. Be we Jews, Gentiles, Africans, Asians, Indians, we are all now citizens. He is doing a new thing, creating something new in Christ Jesus. We become members of his household. We are all joined together. We are a chosen people, according to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We are a united nation made up of different ethnicities. Thank you. We are not permanent residents of God's kingdom, but we are citizens. There is a difference. We represent his kingdom wherever we are. Let me talk a little bit about citizenship here. It took us many years and many lawyers for us to become U.S. citizens. Some of you, you know the story. And thanks to you who were part of the journey, we appreciate you guys. Every year across the globe, people scramble and apply to become U.S. citizens. Some, they even scammed thousands of dollars in their quest to become U.S. citizens. There are some agencies in third world countries whereby they promise you if you pay us a certain amount of money, $900, $800, we can facilitate you to become a citizen. We can make you win the lottery for you to become a US citizen. And many people across the world are scammed and they are desperate. Why are they desperate to come here? Because this is a blessed country. That's why the devil wants to mess with it. That's why the divisions, the racial tensions, the attack on this great nation, it's the nation whereby everybody wants to come. That's why it's under attack. It's a great place to be. And people are scrambling to try and get in. And when we eventually became citizens, we got those blue passports. And oh my God, what a sense of relief. You now know that you are protected by the Constitution of the U.S. When you pass through other countries in transit going to Zimbabwe, you don't have to apply for visas in those countries once you produce your U.S. passport. It opens doors for you. You don't have to apply for visas coming back. You are protected by the mighty of the U.S. government. I was saying to somebody, be grateful for this country in that when you have problems at your home, you can dial 911 and help comes. In countries like Zimbabwe, you don't have 911. If somebody happens to die at home and you call the police to come, they will tell you they don't have gasoline in their car to come and pick up the corpse. If you have intruders at your house, you are stuck with that. But thank God for a country which has such freedoms whereby you can dial 911. So when we became citizens, this meant a lot to us. And Paul is saying here, you are not citizens only of a great country, but you are citizens of a superior kingdom, the kingdom of God, where the ethnicity of a person is no longer relevant. All the citizens have been washed by the blood and justified through Christ and clothed in his righteousness. Verses 20 and 21, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, which Jesus himself, with Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord Jesus. We talk of the cake as being started in the early 60s, right? We think of ourselves as a big church on a hill. But I have some news for you this morning that this is just the visible church that we talk about. There is the invisible church that you and I are part of. And this invisible church is built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, some of whom lost their lives because of this gospel. And upon their doctrines, upon their teachings. We have the Westminster Confession of Faith. We have our beliefs in what they believe in. We believe in the Bible that they believe in. We are built upon this foundation. So we are not just some church building on a hill. We are a people of God, called by God, who are built upon this foundation. And the Bible says in the Book of Hebrews, seeing that we have a cloud of witnesses, we have those that have gone before us, that we should learn and be encouraged by their faith. This is not just a mere organization that we meet in January and congregate and say, okay, let's discuss about our budget and our terms of calls and our elders and deacons. Yes, those are part of administering the visible church here on earth. But we are built upon the foundation of apostles, of prophets. We are the temple of God. That's what we are called into. Amen. What does this mean for us? In conclusion, verse 22, and him you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Every race, every nation, every tribe, we are called to become a dwelling place for God. We are the temple of God. Quickly, three things. Looking in, things that we can do as a result of this message. Let us ask God in the quietness of our hearts to search our hearts according to Psalms 139, verses 23, verse 24. David said, "Search my heart, O Lord, and see if everything is okay." Maybe as we have been preaching the gospel, we say, "I'm okay. I don't have an iota of racism." But some of the things that we say behind closed doors, really? Maybe we need to say, "Lord, search my heart." That's looking in. The second thing, looking up. During these, what I call evil days, God promises healing for his people if his people shall humble themselves and pray and seek him. We need to realize that we cannot legislate our way out of this pandemic. We need to seek God. And reaching out, the third thing. Find someone of a different ethnicity. Try to learn their history and their story. Being united doesn't mean being the same, but it means being accepting and understanding each other. Be intentional. Be willing to listen and learn from their history and their story. And in conclusion, we have a beautiful picture in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9. Finally, John saw a multitude that no one could count from every nation and tribe, people and language standing before the Lamb. That is the true church of God. May God bless you.